This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sad Tuesday morning as we welcome you in VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis, the Moose, Mark Malusa, in for Super Dave Ross. Oh, man, I thought we were going to be able to talk about a United States victory this morning, Moose, but it did not come to pass. Team USA bows out in unfortunately embarrassing style yesterday, and that'll do it for their run here in the World Cup. We'll break all that down upcoming. Greg Peterson going to join the show in hour number two. Malcolm Bamford actually will join us from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Fabulous insight last week on where we are into the quarterfinal round, and today will be that final round of round 16 before those quarterfinal matchups are set. Jack McMullen, the Miami Marlins radio play-by-play voice, will join us as well. My goodness gracious, hottest team of Major League Baseball since June 1st. But Moose, great to be with you. I know we wish it was on better terms as far as what happened last night. We'll try and make sense of it. How are we doing this morning, pal?
Oh, great. I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, last night, what we saw up in Seattle, just disappointing because the United States men's national team didn't play particularly well. And even if they did, they still might have lost to Belgium. You know, they got outclassed, but, you know, they made so many mistakes that proved to be costly over the course of that match, which was, you know, disappointing. First half was really, really boring, to be honest with you, as well. When you're sitting there watching it, my kids were disappointed. So it's a shame. I mean, for the last 2.5 weeks, they've captured the imagination of this country, and it was a shame to see them go out the way that they did, especially giving up a goal in the first 8 minutes of the match.
And no question. Let's start right there. If you're waking up with us, we appreciate you doing that every single morning. And also, the Moose in a little different location if you're watching today on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, Rogers Sportsnet north of the border. A little teaching day for one of the best in the business. We'll dive into that later on. But right now, let's get started with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Well, if it was an MMA fight, this might have been a knockout in the first round. It certainly felt that way as Belgium came out with a vengeance. The Red Devils right on the attack from kickoff, and a near miss with their first shot on goal ended up transpiring into Team USA really stuttering through the first handful of minutes. An early goal from Belgium ends up getting them the advantage. But then Malik Tillman, come on down, man. Your table is ready. The equalizer on a free kick. And all of a sudden, Moose, it felt like Seattle Stadium was alive. And then 60 seconds later, conceding the go-ahead goal, that would eventually be the game winner as Belgium go on to rout the United States 4-1. I know you had kind of mentioned that we had seen this team capture the imagination and the fervor of the country. This one still stings, though. If they could have it back to do over again, I think mentality-wise and aggressiveness and all of those things wrapped into one, I think they would have started a bit differently.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and Jensen, you could speak, to this better than really anybody on VSiN, because you played at the highest level. You pitched on the major league level, right? Nerves come into play. And, you know, I think you saw it last night. You know, I think you saw a really, really nervous American team understanding what was on the line, a trip to the quarterfinals Friday, where they obviously would have taken on Spain, who was victorious earlier in the afternoon against Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo. And, you know, I don't think the United States came out and played with the same fervor, same zest, same energy that they had earlier in the tournament. And I think Belgium took advantage of that. And even after the fact that, and here's where you give Belgium credit, you know, they went into an atmosphere, and those guys, they've got plenty of veterans that have played all across the world and have dealt with a number of different atmospheres, right? So a veteran group, even though they had not played their best up until this point in time, they were miraculous comeback against Senegal in the previous match for Belgium. But They took the crowd right out of it. And after that equalizer by Tillman, then they score a goal basically like 5 minutes later, after you saw the United States team kind of take a deep breath. And unfortunately for Belgium, they carried much of the Belgium carried much of the action. The United States had issues completing passes. The back defense was an issue. They got tested. They make one mistake after another that proved to be costly. And it's just a shame that they went out like that. Like, it's one thing to lose a really good match where you play really, really well. I just don't think the United States men's national team, and they've been criticized after the match, and they've been criticized throughout the course of the night and this morning, and things are going to be written, things are going to be said. They just didn't play particularly well. And I think that's going to be the thing that haunts them, is that they did not give their best effort last night up in Seattle.
I totally agree. Even money, Belgium were last night entering the match to advance into the quarterfinal round. So if you played that ticket, I know the sports book's very happy with that result, as a flood of American money. No surprise here stateside that that were the case. But as you said, they will take on La Roja as Spain, a low-scoring match and a tightly contested one. We needed until the 90th minute into stoppage time, and that's all she wrote. Spain get a late goal within the final minutes as they get past Portugal in the Iberian Derby, punching their ticket into the quarterfinal round. They will now meet Belgium July 10th at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and decided favorites to qualify into the semifinal round, minus 320 for Spain, Belgium plus 250. That side of the quarterfinal will be finished up later on today, and we'll talk about Argentina, Egypt, Switzerland, Colombia in just a moment. But this is the swan song now for Cristiano Ronaldo on the Portuguese side. He was visibly emotional after the loss. Mark, you and I were kind of sitting here yesterday, flipped the script. We kind of thought Belgium, U.S. would be that draw scenario where we could see it being very cagey, very tight. Spain and Portugal, they had chances early in the first half, could not equalize or capitalize, I should say. But Spain, the last laugh, they move on as one of the behemoths, and still a team that has yet to concede a goal here in this World Cup.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think you saw the patience of Spain. I mean, and, you know, the depth of Spain over the course of that match. Beautiful goal. I mean, to steal a basketball term, kind of a give and go. I know that's not the right terminology in soccer, but you know, it kind of the backwards pass, and then he breaks toward the net, wide open into the penalty area, finishes it late for Spain as they take the 1-0 lead, and that ends up being the final. And for Portugal and for Cristiano Ronaldo, they had their chances, as you mentioned, Jensen, over the course of the match. Unfortunately, they were not able to get one by the Spain goalkeeper. And Spain went into it as a favorite. They're one of the favorites, one of the betting favorites to win the World Cup this year. I don't think there was their best performance yesterday afternoon, but it doesn't necessarily matter, right? Survive in advance. We were all talking about it yesterday. Belgium had not played particularly well up until this point in time. You know what? They played brilliantly last night up in Seattle, and they eliminated the United States team. So to steal a Jim Valvano term from when he was coaching North Carolina State, survive in advance. This isn't the NCAA tournament. It's the World Cup, and Spain is marching on to Friday. We'll take on the Red Devils of Belgium.
Yeah, plus 340, La Roja is to win the cup. Only France with shorter odds right now at plus $1.80. So that schedule now sets up where Spain and Belgium will be at SoFi Stadium on Friday to finish out the quarterfinal round. Two matches here in the round of 16. Argentina-Egypt from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta at high noon Eastern time. A decided favorite, one of the biggest of the round of 16. Argentina, a $9 favorite to qualify. Egypt plus 550 as a major underdog. And then Switzerland, Colombia, if you didn't know, these two teams are still in, because no one is really talking about this match later on at 4 o'clock today. That will be up in Vancouver, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Pretty evenly matched spot here. Switzerland and Colombia, with Colombia minus $1.55 to advance. Switzerland plus $1.25. We will break down those two matchups much more upcoming here in the show. Yesterday, an abbreviated slate on the diamond, but my oh my, a couple of aces in different places yesterday. How about the Kansas City Royals putting 9 runs on Christopher Sanchez, including 6 of them in a first inning that saw his ERA before the game go from 2 to a 2.6. Unbelievable performance from Kansas City. And also Mark, we talked about it yesterday. The Yankees, if not now, when's it going to happen? Their ace, Cam Schlittler, goes out and dazzles. 8 strong innings. Ben Rice homers for an exclamation point. The Yankees become the first team to go to Tropicana Field this year as an American League East foe and win a game against the home Rays.
Yeah, pitching matters, Jensen. I know you know that. I mean, pitching matters. And the Yankees needed, listen, they showed off their power. Caballero with the 3-run home run, Ed, another solo shot. Ben Rice with his 25th of the season. But, you know, that game was scoreless going to the top half of the fifth inning before that 3-run home run by Jose Caballero made it 3-0 Yankees. But Schlittler, who, you know, was done in by his defense, 3 starts back against the Red Sox. Last start was not particularly good, not particularly sharp. The Yankees had more of an off-speed approach that night for him. Didn't work. He was back to the power last night and throwing at high velocity and attacking in the strike zone and throwing at the upper part of the strike zone. He threw 8 dominant innings, 4 hits, 1 run. He had 8 strikeouts on the night. His ERA got lowered just a tad over 2. We'll get into the Cy Young market later on, but that's what you need to stop the hemorrhaging in the Bronx, is you needed a dominant start. The Yankees got it. The Phillies didn't, as Sanchez got lit up.
Yeah, it was huge for them. The Yankees were right around just short underdogs going into the final hour or two before first pitch, and then a flood of money coming in on the Pinstripers. Congrats for all that tailed. It was a 3-unit play from yours truly last night on the Yankees money line. They roll easily at Tropicana Field. Speaking of rolling, we are into quarterfinal action at Wimbledon. The American Taylor Fritz easily winning in 3 sets. He is the final American standing across the pond. Of course, the favorite Jannik Sinner, Novak Djokovic also in action, as well as Coco Gauff and Jessica Pegula on the women's side. Okay, Team USA, they are out. We will put them to bed upcoming next. We will also look ahead to the matches today to round out the quarterfinal round. And any changes as far as where we would put our money into those semifinal and final rounds, we'll tell you next on Beeson by the Bucks.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
America has freshly turned 250 years old, but you are running out of time to get our best special pretty much of the entire year. Today is the final day for our 4th of July special. $299 gets you 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. Again, that is 70% off the regular monthly price. If you are a current VSiN Pro subscriber, we will just simply add those 2 calendar years onto your current expiration date. As all of you well know who are already our subscribers, you get the NFL betting guide along with all our other great betting guides for the next 2 years, the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, our AI-powered prop projections, the 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. There's no better deal in the industry than what we have for you right now. Today's the final day, though. VSiN.com/subscribe right now to lock in those 2 years of VSiN Pro for $299. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis, in for Super Dave Ross the rest of this week. Let's put this to bed here, Moose. You and I have watched enough professional sports at the highest level to know when a team takes a field and it looks like they're outclassed and outmatched, to a certain extent, that's where we sized it up yesterday. And all the drama with Flo Balogun aside and looking at the buildup, not only through this World Cup, but into the knockout stage, it did feel that this was a heavyweight up against maybe a welterweight or a lightweight as far as talent and depth and precision. Is that kind of your final takeaway of where the United States still is as far as the chasm between them being a true contender with the heavyweights on the World Cup stage?
Yeah, I think the moment overwhelmed them. They didn't play particularly well, which we talked about in the opening segment. Maybe Belgium had a fire lit under them with everything that went on with Balogun and obviously the reversal of that red card and everything that came along with that, where they grabbed the attention of that team. They played really, really well. They weren't overwhelmed by the moment. And the United States team, you know, said we're going to press them. Belgium had a game plan. They kicked the ball over the top. They won the long balls. They dominated possession. The United States team in the first half had a hard time completing a pass. You know, their defense really, really struggled. They made critical errors at the wrong time. I mean, think about the first Belgium goal. You know, ball up for grabs. There were three defenders for the United States in the penalty area. No one made a play on the soccer ball, and the Belgium, the Red Devils end up scoring. So they get the last laugh. You hop on social media, you know, the Belgium national team sends out a tweet, overturn this, after they knocked off the United States team 4-1. It's bad. I mean, and for as good, here's the problem, Jensen, for as good as the United States men's national team was for the better part of the last 2 weeks, as much as they grabbed this country's attention, as much growth that they had shown, we talked about it yesterday. They were dictating the style and tempo of these matches, something unlike anything I've ever seen watching this national team over the course of my lifetime. And last night, it was more of the same. It was an absolute thud of a performance that is going to, I would be honest with you, that is going to turn all the positives into a little bit of a negative based on this national team moving forward, because I think they got outclassed, they got outplayed, they got outperformed, and Belgium dominated the match.
Yeah, they certainly did. And the score at 4-1, indicative of how one-sided it was. Star forward Christian Pulisic had to exit because of an apparent leg injury. It was a real tough, spot there, because knowing how important he was to the front line with Flo Balogun, to see him try and at least gut through it a bit was endearing in its own right. But you heard kind of the broadcast say, if you can't go, you might need to go down so that we could get a healthy body in there with the time remaining, knowing you were down multiple goals. Jenny Taft had a chance to catch up with Christian Pulisic after the game, asked him his thoughts on kind of where he believes this U.S. men's national team currently stands.
The team really inspired a whole nation to rally around you guys and support this team. What did that support mean to this group, and have you been able to reflect on that at this World Cup?
I mean, I'll reflect on it more, but it's been such an incredible journey. Like this summer, I never wanted it to end. So I'm just so thankful to all the American people that supported us and gave us that boost. It was awesome. Something, you know, definitely a summer I'll never forget.
And any thoughts on building on this in the future?
Of course. I mean, yeah, we need to get over that next hurdle and trying to compete and beat the world's best. And that's our next step for us. It wasn't quite there today, but I think we showed a lot of good things that we have potential to do it. But there's still another step that we have to take.
Yeah, a long way to go still. And for the last five World Cups here, Mark, the round of 16 has been where the men's national team have bowed out. They have not qualified for the quarterfinals since I was a senior in high school in 2002. I don't mean to date anyone here, but my goodness, it has been a minute since they have been able to hang with some of the behemoths on the biggest of stages in international football. As it stands right now, the Belgians are 30-1 to win the World Cup. They, of course, will go up against Spain, and that will be later on at SoFi this week. But first things first, a couple of matches to finish out the round of 16 and complete the quarterfinal bracket. We will get the defending champs in Argentina. They are a $9 favorite to qualify at high noon today against the Egyptians. The Pharaohs, led, of course, by Mo Salah, plus 550 to qualify, and would be one of the great upsets in the round of 16 in quite some time. Then Switzerland and Colombia, the afternoon affair at 4:00 Eastern time. Colombia, a short favorite, minus $1.55 to qualify. Switzerland plus $1.25, and they are decided long shots as well. Switzerland 74-1, Colombia 25-1 to win the World Cup. Let's start with the Argentinian side, because it is all about Lionel Messi. They are as good a unit there as remains in this World Cup tournament. They are plus 450 to win right now. Just Spain and France ahead of them in those futures odds. This feels decided on one side with Argentina. I don't think they're going to play with their food here. To me, I'm laying the goal and a half with Argentina at minus $1.05. I think they are going to make sure that the Pharaohs do not hang around here and feel like they are in the fight. I could see this being a 2-0, 3-1 game and letting Argentina's attack really be able to get out in force. Any feel for you on either of these matches that will complete the quarterfinal round later on today?
Yeah, I would take Argentina as well and lay the goal and a half. I mean, Egypt is here. They won in penalties their last match. Argentina survived against Cape Verde and what it was a tremendous match. I mean, it just was one of the matches of this entire tournament. But I can't see Lionel Messi giving the decided edge. I think what we've learned here as we move along, you know, the differentiation between the haves and the have-nots as soccer nations, you know, and I'm not going to tell you that, you know, I'm locked into the development of these countries day in and day out, but you could see it on the, you know, in terms of the players of quality, the reserves that can come off the bench, the ability to go out there and impose your will. I think there's a style and fashion in which Egypt wants to play this match to keep it close against Argentina. I just don't think they're going to be able to impose their will. So I'm in agreement with you. I'd lay the goal and a half. As far as the late match, I think it's two distinct styles, right? Switzerland, you know, when you look at Switzerland, they're going to be, you know, park the bus. They're going to be defensive. They want it to be low scoring, low chance kind of a match. You look at Colombia, they play an electrifying brand of soccer. I don't think there's any doubt. And, you know, they want to have shots on goal. They want to get the open field, you know, and it's an exciting brand of soccer. I like the two favorites. Colombia is a slight favorite over Switzerland. I think they're going to march on to the quarterfinals. And I agree with you, Jensen, your assessment as far as Argentina is concerned. I think they're going to do it stylishly early this afternoon down in Atlanta.
Yeah, and one other note on that Switzerland-Colombia game, I would lean right now to the under 2.5. I think the defensive organization of both these clubs is full of continuity. They will definitely want to have a low event matchup. And what makes sense on that Colombia side, I think they are going to try and create mistake opportunities where Switzerland make that pass they shouldn't, be able to get to a counter, have numbers and be able to make one of those crosses count there. So I tend to agree where you are here. So as far as confidence goes, I would certainly say Argentina laying the goal and a half, my most confident play. I would even go to the over 2.5 with Argentina and Egypt. Egypt have not been a team that we know keeps clean sheets, but when they have the numbers forward, I think they're going to be forced there sooner than they would like here, Moose. So they will probably have one of those counter opportunities. If it ends up being Argentina getting all three to put the over into the pocket, then we'll take that for sure. I also tend to agree with you on Colombia. It might be a draw, no bet for me as far as where that 90-minute regulation play, instead of just taking them on the money line, if it is indeed that low scoring affair, which I think you and I believe it will be, then I would like that little cushion, if you will, on the tie there to be able to get our stake back. But those two matches will complete the round of 16 and will solidify those quarterfinal matchups. Other headlines to get to. What a day on the diamond, even on an abbreviated slate. And Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics illuminating why the Jaylen Brown trade happened and the salary cap. That and more next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday edition, VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. Moose, for people that are watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, and Rogers Sportsnet north of the border, fun morning for you later on today. Describe what you got going, a pretty unique venue that you're at today.
Yeah, well, I'm down at Iona University in New Rochelle, New York, which is a short drive down. And my buddy Joe Dalwiso let me in early into the building here at the broadcast and the communications department. And so Bruce Beck is having his broadcasters camp. So young young boys and girls and, you know, high school, some even a little bit, mostly high school kids get the opportunity to kind of learn from those that have done it. Gary Apple, John Jastrzemski, who does work here at Visa, myself, Mike Breen's, John Fanta. I mean, there's a number of people that are going to be a part of it. So it's fun. Do it every single year. So it's right after the show this afternoon. So it's great. Get to talk a little broadcasting, where the, you know, where everything's going. What do you need to do? Got to be passionate, opinionated, knowledgeable, entertaining, know what you're talking about. You know the deal, Jensen, and get to have a good time. So it's an absolute blast. So looking forward to it later on this afternoon.
Little summer camp with the Moose. That always a good time down there. So excited to get your feedback on how that goes tomorrow. Hey, great feedback if you're a Yankee fan watching that series opener against the Tampa Bay Rays in Tropicana Field last night. As big a bounce back spot as you could have for Cam Schlittler. And I got to tell you, I watched his first 3 to 4 innings. Moose, this was a freight train and then some. Credit where it's due. Griffin Jacks was absolutely unhittable too for the first 4 innings. It looked like whoever was going to score first, it might be a 1-0, 2-1 game that will ultimately get this decided. Well, Jose Caballero entered the chat and said, I'm going to go ahead and continue to terrorize my former mates. Huge 3-run homer to get the lead for the Pinstripers. They would never look back, going on to win 5-1. But let's talk some Cam Schlittler, because it was a decidedly better performance. Did read some of the comments after the game. Amazing in this day and age here, Moose, where some of these guys continue to hear the noise. I know he's a youngster, so I'm sure a little more attuned on the social media and maybe more abreast of it. But he made mention of people saying that he might be regressing a little bit. So the Michael Jordan Last Dance meme, I took that personally. And he certainly did, with 8 brilliant innings last night, just allowing the 1 earned run, 4 hits, 8 strikeouts, no walks, routinely sitting 99 to 101 with a fastball. Your takeaway from what you saw with not only Cam Schlittler, but the Yankees getting a much needed win in the series opener.
First advice for Cam, and I'm sure he's more on social media than anything else, but don't pay attention to it. Don't listen to it. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. I mean, to be honest with you, because not everyone's going to love you and people are going to say things I have no idea what they're talking about. So that's point number one. Number two is, starting pitching matters. I mean, Jensen, we see it time and time again, right? How do you momentum in Major League Baseball as the next day starting pitcher? The Yankees have looked terrible. I mean, not just bad. They've looked terrible for 2.5 weeks. I mean, for 15 games. And Schlittler went down to Tampa last night and was dominant. The concern you had was, even if he was dominant, where the Yankees going to score? And they hit 3 home runs. Caballero 2, Ben Rice another. They win the game 5-1. It was a much-needed victory. You know, stop the hemorrhaging that was going on. They now trail the Rays by 3 games in the American League East. And they're back to 10 games over the 500 mark. So all those things are positive. And that's what gives you excitement about potentially in terms of how does it need to look without Stanton. No timeline for his return. Judge, you're looking at the better part of the next 6 weeks before you get Aaron Judge back. Well, you need your starting rotation to be dominant. And Cam Schlittler needs to be kind of the torchbearer of that. And he certainly was last night.
Yeah, that was big. Now moving down to plus $1.20 is the short shot for the American League Cy Young Award. Dylan Cease of the Toronto Blue Jays hot on his tail at plus +220. And then the Tampa Bay Rays ace, Drew, excuse me, Drew Rasmussen is at 6-1. Those are the 3 pitchers that are in single digits there on the American League side. It was a performance to forget for the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday as well, because their Cy Young favorite, Christopher Sanchez, boy, did he look anything but. The Kansas City Royals, after the Phillies stake Sanchez to a 1-0 lead at the top of the first inning, oh, they put a 6th spot on Sanchez en route to putting 9 earned runs in 3 1/3 off the left-handed ace of Philadelphia. It was just ridiculous how quickly this game got out of hand. Sanchez's ERA goes from a 2.00 to a 2.6 in just one outing's time. And boy, Mark, did that have some resonance in the National League Cy Young market. Christopher Sanchez now drifting to plus +550. Jacob Mizorowski, who goes in the first game of the day-night doubleheader with the Brewers and the Cardinals, he is up to a $4.50 favorite as the National League Cy Young race has started to widen a little bit. First, I'll get your thoughts on what we saw from the Royals just bludgeoning Sanchez yesterday. And then what we kind of feel now with the top two options here in the National League Cy Young market.
Yeah, I mean, there are bad starts, and then there are bad starts. And yesterday was a bad one for Christopher Sanchez. I mean, 12 hits, 9 runs. I mean, that's non-competitive and was stunning. I mean, Jensen, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, you can be, especially when you're looking at a pitcher of his quality, like, it's one thing where you say, okay, it's not your day. You allow 4 or 5 runs to be battered the way that he was. A little alarming, like, to the point where you say, and oftentimes it drives me crazy, was something a little off? Did the Royals know something? Was he tipping pitches? Like, to that extent, when you're looking at how good Christopher Sanchez has been, when you look at the Cy Young race for Mizorowski, and, you know, not surprising. I mean, his strikeout numbers have been utterly ridiculous. You look at the Milwaukee Brewers and where they're standing. They're right there, you know, in terms of 20 plus games over the 500 mark. He's been the standard bearer for that. And so, like, it's not all that surprising. And I think performances like yesterday, what you saw from Christopher Sanchez, doesn't help make his case. And obviously, as you mentioned, has now widened the gap between Sanchez and Mizorowski in terms of that NL Cy Young race.
Yeah, pretty significant. The next closest after that, Chris Sale at 25-1, along with Yoshi Yamamoto of the LA Dodgers, a distant third to those two top dogs in the National League Cy Young race. Shifting some gears here to the National Basketball Association, one piece of news to pass along for those just joining us. The Sacramento Kings did waive 6-time All-Star DeMar DeRozan yesterday. Been a shakeup of sorts there as some of these long-in-the-tooth veterans are going to have a little bit tougher time finding some employment. No tough times here, apparently, for Brad Stevens with the Boston Celtics, unless you look at and hear some of his reasoning as to why the Jaylen Brown trade finally came to pass. Not exactly, if you look on the surface with personality and what we saw with the trade rumors back and forth. Here's the Celtics president of basketball operations on why the trade happened and also some reasoning behind it as well.
The path looked a little bit more challenging to me. I might be wrong. I'm not going to stand up here and be defensive about that. But the path looked a little bit more challenging with 70% of our cap and such a high percent of our usage tied into two players. And the reality in this era and in this day and age of the NBA, and you could see it obviously with the last couple of champions and some of the teams that were at the very top of the league when it was all said and done at the end of this year, is that, you know, you have to do a great job and you have to have the optionality to do a great job of building out depth that can hopefully replace the irreplaceable individual.
Well, we know that there is now the replacement of where we are. Jaylen Brown is out. A couple of the additions now for the Boston Celtics here, Moose. Mitchell Robinson has come in from the world champion New York Knicks. Mike Conley, the veteran point guard, will now slide into the backcourt there. But just kind of looking at where their cap space, they are still $30 million over before they get to this season. And their first apron space is a little bit under $25 million. We will not get into the particulars of it. Basically, to make it easy for those of you tuning in and listening, there is a decided need. If you're going to build a contender, you needed cap flexibility. They got a huge swath of that by sending Jaylen Brown on his way to the 76ers. But this feels like not only was it financially driven, but Moose, you can't help but think this relationship was not repairable after the trade rumors had surfaced for quite some time.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, it just doesn't. Like, my follow-up would be like, well, why did you then trade him for 50 cents on the dollar? Like, you know, Paul George, you could talk about how well he looked in the playoffs. He was also suspended 25 games during the course of the regular season last year by the NBA. So, like, I don't know. It doesn't, you know, you get, you know, from Stevens, it's a basketball decision. You know, finances didn't play a role, according to the Boston Celtics owner. It just doesn't pass the smell test. Listen, the 76ers are happy Jaylen Brown's in down in Philadelphia. And I think the Celtic fan, and here's where Brad Stevens and their ownership have to, that is a trade that, if it does not go right, will define that organization now moving forward for the foreseeable future.
No doubt about it. Speaking of defining, that is Malcolm Bamford and then some. He joins us from the Sports Gambling Podcast next. The quarterfinal round completed after today. His handicap and betting angles when you come back.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Rolling along here on a Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Malus. It's great to go across the pond and visit with one of our favorites here on the program. Malcolm Bamford joins us, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast, as a network analyst there. Give him a follow on X at Mal_B_Sport. Joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. My friend, great to see you. Early afternoon where you are, but I know some people here in the United States still waking up mourning the loss of Team USA yesterday. Just your quick synopsis on what, you thought of yesterday's affair. Was it over too early? Is there a difference still in class of this group moving forward? Your assessment kind of where the U.S. men's national team is right now.
Good morning, boys. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm not sure how gentle I have to be with you boys this morning. I didn't know how wounded you would be. It was a possibility. This result was a possibility. I didn't expect it. There's a couple of things in play here. Firstly, the USA hadn't really played a ton of opposition. And in hindsight, by the way, this is all in hindsight, which is a wonderful tool to be able to use. I don't know if giving the three host countries a seed in the group helped them particularly, because you end up playing three games against lower level sort of tier two, tier three opponents. And then when you come up against your first big opposition, we've seen them all go out. Mexico and Canada have both gone out as well at the first sign of a decent opponent. I think you might be better off going in the group with one other team and maybe emerging in second place, having played in Argentina or the Netherlands or somebody, rather than picking off the three bad teams. The sense of injustice angle made me laugh a little bit, because I actually picked the USA to win the game. And part of my handicap was teams with a sense of injustice. And at the time, that was the USA. Then it all flip-flopped in 24 hours and Belgium came in as the team with the sense of injustice. And I think that probably helped them as well. We don't know how much the media circus affected the USA performance. We just don't know. There'll be speculation. There'll be Netflix documentaries down the years. We don't know how it affected them. And the other thing is, it's tournament football. And there's a reason the best teams, you never get an underdog winner of these competitions. You get a shock result every now and again. You might get a team winning the group, but they never win. It's tournament football, and it takes 50 years to be able to learn and perform like that. The USA did great up to a point, and then it just unraveled a little bit. I'm not sure of the substitutions. The goalkeeper makes that mistake, and all of a sudden, you've gone from full to empty, and you're out. So, yeah, there was loads of different things in play. There'll be analysis over the coming 3 or 4 weeks what happened. But, yeah, unfortunate. Good story while it lasted. I work with a lot of Americans, so they were on. I was on their side, but it just didn't happen last night.
No, it didn't. A bad performance. If we spin it forward, Malcolm, and you look ahead toward Belgium and Spain on Friday, what's your take on that matchup?
Belgium, until last night, had been really average. And I don't know what to make of last night. Because were they, again, I need to have another look at it, because I don't know if they were great or did they just beat another middle tier team. Spain and France have separated themselves from the pack. They're in the top echelon of these teams. France look like they're playing a different sport to everybody else at times. And Spain have been a little bit pragmatic in this competition. They haven't been as fluent, as free-flowing, but they've kept 5 clean sheets now. No one scored past them. All things being equal, this looks like a similar game to Spain-Portugal, where Spain can just pick them off at their will. Spain will be one goal better than them, I would imagine. This is all pointing towards that Spain-France semi-final, I think.
And boy, what a matchup that would be. Decided favorite La Roja are to be able to advance into the semifinal. We will have that quarterfinal bracket finished after today, Malcolm. Two matches, one very decided to one side with Argentina, the heavy favorite to advance over the Pharaohs of Egypt. And then Switzerland and Colombia, a little tightly lined, that one at 4 o'clock Eastern time in Vancouver. Let me begin with angles you would have for Lionel Messi's crew there in Argentina. Should we feel that the aggressiveness will be there early? To me, it doesn't look like Argentina want to play around, let Mo Salah and company stick around here. Do they get very decided, press forward, and really put this one out of reach early?
I kind of think the opposite, you know, Jensen. This seems to me like a slow burner for a couple of reasons. Firstly, Argentina seem very short price for a team who just struggled to see off Cape Verde. Minus 250. For a team, and that was a genuine 2-2 draw. It's not like Cape Verde defended for 98% of the game and scored a look at you guys. That was a proper game of football. So 2-5 for a team on a pure form line doesn't look great. And Argentina haven't faced much. It feels like a bit of a party atmosphere for Argentina. They faced Jordan, Algeria, Austria, Cape Verde, four teams from lower down the rankings. It's been a bit of a farewell tour for Messi. It's all been really bloodless so far. In Egypt, are the draw specialists. They've played four times. They've drawn three of them inside 90 minutes. The other thing to me here, it doesn't seem like 2 minutes since these played. There's a couple of quite big gaps. England played Monday, get Saturday, so you get a five-day break. Friday night, both of these teams went to extra time. In Egypt, went to penalties. Also, it's an early kickoff. It's a lunchtime kickoff. And they're notorious for slow burners. They're notorious for taking a little bit of time to get going. So I think this might be a bit cagey earlier on. Egypt have been okay. They've been sort of neither unsurprisingly good or bad in this tournament. I would actually take the draw. They've drawn 3 out of 4. They're tournament experience. We've got a lot of tournament experience. I would take the draw at 15-4. Sorry, English prices. I would take the draw at +375. And I actually quite like the half-time draw at +137 because I do think this might just take a little bit of time to get going. And then maybe when we see the first goal in the second half, then we'll see a little bit of momentum in the game. But this might just be a little bit of a slow burner.
I'm curious, where do you think, Malcolm, you mentioned in terms of that France and Spain have separated themselves. What's your take on England after they survived down in Stadio Azteca Sunday night against Mexico?
Yeah, survived is a great word, by the way. That was unbelievable. I know it was England, so I did have a dog in the fight, but what a game. 5 goals, red card, 2 penalties. The Mexicans threw the kitchen sink at England in the last 20 minutes. It was genuinely something to behold in that atmosphere, in that stadium as well. England have been good. They've showed a few different ways of getting things done. And what England have got is two or three world-class players. And that can win you a game. If you can defend properly, then Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham can go and win you a football match. And there's nothing to be ashamed of in that by having those good couple of players. I don't think they are in the same league as Spain and France, but that doesn't put me off them at all. I think England are better than Norway. I've faded Norway all tournament. I've followed them off a cliff. It's been a disaster. So I've got one more chance to fade them against England this weekend. England will progress, I think. France has probably got a little bit too much for them, if I'm going to be honest with you. But don't tell anybody else I said that.
All right, got about a minute left with you because that's kind of where I wanted to go. Is it just very clearly the three top dogs right now, France at +$1.80, Spain +340, Argentina +450, or do we have England live here, especially on their side of the bracket? Would you have an investment there and see if there's a monetization opportunity into the semis, if not to the final?
I think England are better than Argentina. I'm not even sure it'll be Argentina, by the way. Colombia will press them pretty hard. Argentina, they're a little bit old at the back. Messi, this has been a bit of a beano for Messi, but it's all been set up in his favour. He hasn't had to face a proper top-level defence. like England have got. So England to make that, to make it through that part of the door is a great play, actually. If you're looking to isolate that half of the bracket, I would take England out of that. I would possibly take Colombia. England v Colombia would concern me more than England against Argentina in that half of the draw.
Wow. Wow, that is outstanding insight. Brother, always great to visit with you across the pond. Enjoy the rest of the football today. We get a little off day, reprieve tomorrow, and then it is game on for the rest of the quarterfinal, semifinal, into the final. All the best to you, Malcolm. We'll talk again soon.
Cheers, boys. Have a good day. Thank you.
There Thank he is, Malcolm. Malcolm Banford, Sports Gambling Podcast Network analyst, kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. All right, so we got to put the U.S. men's national team to bed. That doesn't mean, as you heard Malcolm just say, that we're done betting the football. There's a lot to like here in the odds market, and once we get that quarterfinal matchup set, could be some numbers to be able to take advantage of. Also, Carly Lloyd, former great of the U.S. women's national team, choice comments about the men. That's up next on VSiN by the Books.